Well, you know the drill, right? You know the drill. We've been studying how to study the Bible, all right? How to study the Bible. And we started with knowing what Bible to use, right? Because not all Bibles available out there are something that we can use, and it's something that are of our benefit. And so, what did we say again about the Bible? What Bible to use? God has actually preserved the Word of God in the English Bible, in the English Bible, in the King James, okay, in the King James Bible, that's preserved. It's not necessarily what was inspired is the original manuscript, okay, but the King James Version is what God has preserved for us to use at this day and age, okay? And so, we said we're supposed to memorize the books of the Bible, right? All 66 books. Some of you have already recited the Old Testament, most New Testament. But do we have a volunteer? Do we have a volunteer? You can say the New Testament is easier. There's only 27 books, right? Or you can say, you can recite the Old Testament. And like we said, if there's no volunteer, we will volunteer you. How's that? All right? So, I guess you're just waiting for me to say it, right? Okay, well, it's just fair that I go first, right? Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 and 3 John, Jude, and Revelations. How's that? That was easy, right? Because I was working on it. But have you? That's the question, right? And so, would like two volunteers, please. Before, okay, someone's volunteering someone. okay, sure. Okay, you can sing it for us, all right? You can sing it for us, sure. That'd be nice. All right, amen. That makes it easier to memorize the books of the Bible, isn't it? All right? That's okay. So we probably should learn that song. All right. Okay. Well, why don't we do this? All right. All of us recite the books of the Bible at the same time. How's that? All right. And so let's start from Genesis. Begin. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Good. New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelations. Whew. That wasn't too hard, was it? All right. So again, even when we're done with this topic of with subject of how to study the Bible, we're still going to have to memorize the books of the Bible. Okay? When was that? Last Wednesday, I think, when Pastor said, well, open to the book of, what was that, Nahum? Or Jonah? Okay. And if you don't know the books of the Bible in their chronological order, you'll have a hard time opening to that, all right? And so it's important because we should be like the Bereans, right? That we have to see exactly what is being what the pastor is saying, so that we can know whether these things are true, right? Just like the Bereans, okay? So the study, we're supposed to study the right Bible, okay? So Bibles up, please. Bibles up, okay? When I say the verses, the chapter and the verse, you say it yourself, and then I say begin, and that's when you begin searching for that reference, okay? So, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, begin. First one to find it, stand up and read. Amen. All right. So, again, one more. Bible's up. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 3. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 3. Begin. Amen. Thank you. All right. So if I could just get everybody back on their feet, please. If you can stand with me, open your Bibles to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll read verses 14 and 15, and we'll jump from into chapter number 3, verses 1 to 17. We'll read the whole chapter of chapter 3. Chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy, we'll read verses 14 and 15. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Chapter 3 and verse 1, please. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of these sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord God bless the reading of his word this afternoon. Thank you. You may be seated. So, we need to study the right Bible. If one is going to study the Bible effectively, it is to be studied as the holy, as the preserved, as the authoritative word of God. Now, the Bible student must have complete confidence in the Bible. Because if you don't have complete confidence in the Bible, you think that the Bible is just another book. Guess what? We might as well just go home, not study the Bible. All right? So God has promised to preserve his word. And we are convinced that we have the preserved word of God in the English language in the King James Version, what we have in our hands today. Right? And we know why the King James Version is superior to all of the other translations. We've gone through that before, right? So the new versions were translated out of a corrupt Greek text in the first place. And so if the root is corrupt, the tree is corrupt. Do you agree? And so the new the difficulty of understanding the slight antiquation of the English Bible, King James Bible, can be overcome by a little study and the use of a few good tools. Now, there are two serious errors that pertain to the modern Bible versions. I know we've gone through that as well. This is just review. Okay. First one is that the modern versions are based on the wrong Greek New Testament. Okay, and so if it's based on the wrong Greek New Testament, then it follows, logic says that there's actually a correct Greek New Testament, right? And so if the wrong Greek text is used to translate from, and so because the wrong Greek text is already it's already bad, right? We cannot trust it, and so whatever comes out from that is also wrong. Do you agree? Okay, and so the Holy Spirit gave the words of the inspired books, and he further enabled the early churches to discern between an inspired writing and an uninspired writing. Okay? And so there was a great attack in the scripture. And until in the year 1800s or 1516 or 1500, the Bible emerged out of the Dark Ages, and the first new Greek Testament was printed in 1516. Now, that was called the received text. That was the proper text. That was the right Greek text. And it was translated into major languages of the world from the 1500s to the 1800s, okay? And then in 1881, guess what? Now there came the new Greek Testament, which is perverted, right? And it was done by Westcott and Hort, and it's called the New Greek New Testament in England. This was the product of modern textual criticism, and we're going to go through this as well, all right? And as a result, most of the English versions came from this, the New Greek Testament. The Revised Version, this American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, and the New International Version, all right? So we've gone through this as well. We looked at some of the doctrinal corruptions that were as a result of using the Westcott and Hort text. And okay, so what man has done is that they're supposed to translate. That's the job of the translator, is to translate the Bible into languages, right? But what they've done is that they've actually not translated, but they have put in their words, their own words, which is what we call dynamic equivalency, right? Dynamic equivalency. And most of the doctrines that they've corrupted, number one is the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The virgin birth, well, they've changed the words, but not necessarily changed the meaning. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, in some of the versions, they've used young woman, to replace the word virgin. Is there a problem there? Okay? The young woman is not necessarily a virgin. Okay? And so if that's exactly what they've done, is man has either eliminated some words, has either eliminated some verses, changed some words, okay, that has actually changed the meaning of the verse. That was what man has done to the Word of God. Now, the second problem is that most modern versions use an undependable method of translation called dynamic equivalency. Now, dynamic equivalency is the way they reproduce the original text of Scripture using modern language or expression to communicate the message of the Bible. Okay? So, they said using modern language and expression. And they're saying, well, the King James Version is hard to understand because there's a lot of words that are antiquated. They're old. It cannot be understood by an ordinary man, but it's not necessarily true. No, it isn't. And what they've done is they've changed some words. Let's say, for example, Isaiah 1:18, in the King James Version, that word snow is replaced by coconut. I guess the coconut is looks like snow. The inside part, anyway, it's the meat. Matthew 8:20, foxes was translated into coyotes in the Mahazua language of Mexico. Mark 4:21, on a candlestick was translated on a grain bin. You see, it has actually changed the meaning, hasn't it? In another Wycliffe translation, the fig tree was replaced with banana tree. Romans 3:25. The King James Version says blood, but the TEV, English Version, is death. Is it the same? Yes, that's exactly what they've done. They've modernized it. But in the way they did it, it has actually changed the meaning, the entire meaning of the verse. You see, if the Bible student uses a dynamic equivalency Bible, he can never know which of the words are God's and which of the words are man, can he? Not anymore. They've changed it, right? But what God has done is that he has preserved the very word of God in the King James Version, okay? We do not believe that men have the authority to change God's word. They don't have the authority. Now, the translator's job is not to modify the Bible, but his job is to translate it accurately, right? It is then the job of the preacher and teacher to explain the Bible. You see, when we need an accurate Bible so that we know we are studying the words of God and not the words of man. Does that make sense? Okay? So, now, we've gone through some of the requirements for effective Bible study. Now, we have six already. We've gone through six, okay? What are they, if you still remember? To have an effective Bible study, it requires what? Okay, it requires the person to have a spiritual life. That means he should be saved. He should be born again, right? And so, because the natural man, which is the unsaved man, does not understand the things of God. Okay? So, the spiritual man and the carnal man both refer to the saved person. Okay? Just different areas of growth in his spiritual life. Okay? And so, the Bible said... In Bible study, spiritual life is more important than technical skills. Okay? So a person who understands the language of the Holy Spirit, but who does not understand a word of Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic, for that matter, will get more out of the Bible than one who knows all about Greek, all about Hebrew, but is not born again. That's why you have to be saved for you to be able to understand, for you to be able to have an effective Bible study. Now, the other thing too is Proverbs 17:16 contains a serious warning. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? You see, if a person is not right with God, no way he can obtain wisdom. No way he can obtain wisdom, regardless of how much money he spends and regardless of how much education he obtains. Friends, if we want to study the Bible fruitfully, we must make certain that we are born again and we are in close relationship with our Lord, with the author of this book. This is the first and foremost requirement. The secondly is that we must have, to have an effective Bible study, we must have faith. We must have faith. You believe that this is the Word of God. Okay? It is not a book that contains the Word of God, by the way. Right? It is the very Word of God. Okay? And so it requires faith. And we must believe that this is the inspired Word of God, or this is the preserved Word of God. And what it was translated from an inspired text. Okay? So he must be confident that God loves him and wants him to understand the Bible. God wants us to understand the Bible. And so he has already given us everything, right? Man has tried to burn the Bible to get rid of the Bible so that we don't have a Bible to use. But God has preserved his word, and we still have the very word of God even up to this day and age. And it will never disappear, by the way. because that's in the Bible. It's forever settled, right? Effective Bible study also must have the right tools. Goals. The right goals. Like I said, there's a wrong motive of studying the Bible, right? Some merely learn to study because they're new, just it's something new and curious, right? Going back to what we read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. We're not supposed to study the Bible to be approved of man. Right? And so that's the right goal, to be approved of God. And guess what? It says there, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you look at the word study, though, it involves work. And so a lot of people don't study the Word of God because it takes work to do that. We're just plain lazy. That's why. Right? And so we neglect the study because we don't want to put in effort to study the Word of God. And it says there, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman, it takes work to read the Bible. Okay? It takes work. But we must have that right goals if we have to study the Bible, right? So, also, effective Bible study must have the right priority. We must have the right priority. In Job chapter 23 and verse 12, it says there, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than what? My necessary food. Right? Job chapter 23 and verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. We have to determine to read, not to read, sorry. We have to determine not to read other books first until we've read the Bible, until we've read the Word of God. We can't just treat the Bible as another book that we should be reading. We have to have this has to have the priority. We've gone through the things that we believe in, right? And it's in the acrostic Baptists. That number one is what? B. The Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice for the Christian, right? And so, if this is the sole authority for faith and practice, this has to be have a priority in our lives, shouldn't it? Right? And so we have to have the right priority. God requires first place in our lives. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? So he intends that we should make the study of his word the very highest priority. Okay? So if it's the highest priority, when's the best time to read the Bible? In the morning, when your mind is fresh, it's not tired. Because guess what? One of the things that the effect to have a Bible effective Bible study is that we should not be reading the Word of God when we're tired or when we're mad at our kids. Right? And so we should also give it a sufficient time. We cannot just set aside 10 minutes to read the Word of God. That's not enough. If the Word of God is important to God and to Jesus Christ, right? And so it should be important to us too. The study of the Bible should be a priority above the study of other books. We cannot read some books and then read the Bible. Okay? It has to come first before any other book. Effective Bible study also requires hunger for God and his truth. It requires hunger. Like Job lived long ago and did not have all the scriptures as we do today, but he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Right? And so a Christian to make a Bible study the priority, it must be, requires that he have a great hunger to know the Word of God. And sometimes we spoil our appetite, don't we? And if we spoil our appetite, guess what? We no longer eat. We no longer eat. And so, if you find that you have lost your appetite for the Bible and that it has already become boring, you might be feeding on the wrong things in your life. The believer has both the flesh and the spirit, and he feeds the spirit. He feeds the flesh. If he feeds the flesh, he will be carnal and will lose appetite for spiritual things. It is like eating candy and junk. If you eat candy and junk, what happens with your appetite? You can no longer eat the healthier food. It's the same thing with reading the Bible. If we have our minds, our total being engaged in something else other than being concentrated on learning about God, guess what? We won't be able to effectively study the Word of God. Also, effective Bible study requires concentration and focus. Sometimes, don't you experience this? Sometimes when you sit down and you've decided you're going to read the Word of God, you sit down and sometimes your mind starts to wander. What am I going to eat for lunch? Right? What am I going to do? Okay? That's why it's important that we stay focused and concentrated on what God has for us today. At that very hour that you're going to read the Word of God. So it is so easy for the mind to wander as we read the Bible. And sometimes I've heard somebody, a Christian, he says, if I can't sleep, I read the Bible. And that's how he lulls himself to sleep, reading the Bible. Right? I don't know if that's the right attitude towards the Bible, but guess what? We need to concentrate on what God has for us. Okay? We articulate ourselves telling God what we want, but are we interested in what God wants for us? Right? And what God wants for us is in the Bible. All we need to do is read the Bible, and we know what God wants for us. But we're so need conscious that, hey, God, this is my need. I need this. I want this. Right? But we neglect God speaking to us, and God speaks to us through His Word. Not in an audible voice, but through His Word. Okay? So we need to be concentrated in the Word of God. That's why it's important. Thy word have I hid in my heart, what? That I might not sin against thee. Hid in my heart. That's memorize, right? That's memorizing. You see, if you memorize the scripture, you can meditate upon them at any time, right? You just have to recall what you've memorized. What does this verse say? And by the way, the Word of God, that's even if nobody ever has mastered the Word of God, because the Word of God applies to you differently each and every time that you read it. You read the same word, the same verse, the same chapter, but guess what? Each time you read it, it applies differently to you. That's why no one has ever mastered the Bible. Yeah, they have memorized the Bible, but memorizing is not mastering. Right? Memorizing is, I know, what's his name? He memorized about 10,000 verses in the Bible. Who was that? Jack Van Impe. Right? He memorized that. You don't necessarily master the Bible by memorizing the Bible. Okay? So that's why we're required. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? Study. Right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. If we're just reading and memorizing, we're not studying. Because it just comes automatic now. You know the verse. It just comes automatic. But it's important that we memorize the verse as well so that we can actually look back and say, well, this is what God says in this verse, right? And so we need to memorize, and it's important as well, right? And so next one, to have an effective Bible study, it requires, this is one thing that we hate, it requires hard work. Right? It requires hard work. God likens the search for wisdom in his word to the search of silver. You see, men do not necessarily just find silver lying on the ground in accessible areas. What happens is that it is found in the most precipitous mountains, deep in the solid rock. Guess what? Before you can actually have access to that, You have to work. It's strenuous labor. And by the way, so is the Bible. Most great truths do not lie in the surface. We need to study. Okay? We need to find time. It requires hard work. Most great truth, to rightly divide the word of God requires that we become a workman. We become a workman. It is one thing to own concordances and commentaries, but the question is, are you using them? Are you using them? Because to use the commentaries and by the way, there's some commentaries that you that we recommend and some people recommend. There are some that we don't use as well. Right? So we need to be careful about that as well. So to rightly divide the word of God, guess what? That rightly dividing is actually right handling of the word of God. We need to handle the word of God rightly. And by the way, there's actually three pastoral epistles. What are they? We've gone through this. The three pastoral epistles. First and Second Timothy and Titus, all right, and Titus, and by the way, this actually are written by Paul to address to the leadership of the church, right? And so when he says to rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth, it requires a workman, and so that pastors and teachers need to study the word of God properly. So that they can teach it properly to the members as well, to the people that listen to them, right? And however, it also applies to us as Christians that we need to rightly divide the word of truth, handle the word of God properly. We need to study it, right? And search the scriptures for in them you think you know you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, it takes work. Because, you know, when you start a book, for example, you're starting Matthew or Mark, right? We need to understand, here's some guidelines. We need to understand who wrote the book, right? Who wrote the book. That's why it's important to sit down and go through it first so that we can understand exactly what the Bible is or what the book is all about. Now, who wrote it? Where was it written from? Okay. And who was it written to? Okay? The Matthew and Mark, who are they written to the same group of people? No? Who was the Matthew, who was the book of Matthew written to? The Jews? Okay. What about Mark? It was actually written to the Gentiles, particularly the people of Rome. Romans, right? And so that just understanding that would actually make us effective in our study. Now, what was the purpose of that book being written? It's also there. what is being emphasized in the book, right? So we need to spend time. It takes labor. Just the word study alone is already labor, right? And also, effective Bible study requires, this is the most important thing, I think, prayer. It requires prayer. As we search the Bible, we must cry out to its author for understanding and illumination, right? The Bible student must trust the Lord, and guess what? We shouldn't be leaning on our own understanding, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. R.A. Torrey said, prayer will do more than a college education to make the Bible an open and glorious book. Charles Bridges also warned, without this spirit of prayer, there may be a tension and earnestness, yet not one spiritual impression upon the conscience, not one ray of divine light in the soul. Earthly wisdom is gained by study, heavenly wisdom by prayer. Study may form a biblical scholar, but prayer puts the heart under a heavenly tutorage and therefore forms the wise and spiritual Christian. God keeps the key of the treasure house in his own hand. We look no further inspiration than divine grace to make his word clear and impressive. That's according to Charles Bridges, right? So when we pray for wisdom, guess what? We're praying for wisdom because we don't already have it, do we? Or is that one of the reasons? Okay, we pray for wisdom because we acknowledge that we don't have it. We pray for wisdom because we acknowledge our total dependency upon God. And we pray for wisdom because we are humbling ourselves, knowing that he is God, and we're just finite beings, right? Okay, so we submit ourselves to God.